And we're still live here from the Rocky Coast of Maine to the Rocky Mountains and around the world on Republic Radio. This is the Proactive News with Bill Brumbaugh. Bill is off this week. He's recovering from a fire and the flu and a burned hand and a few other little problems that would stop lesser men, but Bill's hanging in there, and he will be back with us next week, he promises, and we'll see if he's able to get over this flu that quickly. I understand some people have been suffering from this flu for several months. My friend George Ann over at the Proactive News, over at the Bite Show, sorry, getting confused with all these shows here. My friend George Ann has been suffering from this flu and laryngitis problem for several months. Rush Limbaugh had it for a couple of days. Whatever it is that's going around, we should call it the talk show flu because it seems to be affecting people who do a lot of talking. So hopefully, I've already been through it, I think. Not sure, but I was having a lot of trouble last fall with it for several months as well. Melissa, you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, great. Well, we have Melissa in Texas, and she's been asking all kinds of great questions and giving me something to talk about here. And it helps because, frankly, I had no plan for today. I didn't know until late last night, actually, that I had anything to do with today's show. So I am happy for any assistance I can be rendered here.
While I was working and listening at the same time, because I bought a little a Sony CD player that was MP3 capable.
And, oh, really? They've got one like that?
Oh, you bet. And it's wonderful. I'd never bought a portable CD player before. So not only did I get your stuff, but then I had to go buy a mechanism to play it. So I'm quite occupied for all day long. If there's nothing on talk radio that I care to listen to at any given time, boy, I'm plugging those things in and listening.
But well, thank you.
The problem is that it is a little complicated, and because I'm not sitting down and actually, like, I wish there was a family tree where you just had each name and how it was connected and who was connected to who where, because Lazarus and Mary and the other Mary and Joseph and the other Joseph, they were all related.
And yes, they were. And I'll tell you, one of the hard parts about this is that when I made that tape, which was around 1994, 1995, mm-hmm. There were some details about the life of Judas and Simeon and some of those people that I hadn't yet worked out. I now am convinced beyond any question that Judas was the firstborn son of St. Peter. And I didn't realize it at the time, and I'm not sure if that tape says that or not, or that file on the CD.
Now, you're showing your Catholic upbringing there, because I don't call him St. Peter. I call him Peter. And I can't wait to meet him when we all get where we're going, because what a wonderful character, always putting his foot in his mouth,
true.
Always doing the exact wrong thing, and Jesus Christ.
I don't suppose you ever fully shake these things, but on the other hand, it is the single largest quasi-Christian denomination out there.
I know.
I guess the Lord had a plan there somewhere.
Well, but when you see who Peter really was, his nature, it's like every time Jesus Christ said something, like did a parable for them, it would be like, and Jesus said to the 12, and Peter answered. So he was always
Peter
the one,
was
the
first guy to talk. Yeah.
And he was always the one doing the goofiest things.
Yeah.
But because
we'll be back
of it,
after
he was also the one who jumped
here,
out of the
we'll
boat.
We'll continue this conversation.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
And we're back again. You're listening to the Proactive News with Bill Brumbaugh, and Bill is off this week. I'm Olaf Hagee, in case you're tuning in late. And Bill should be back next week. He has had a fire in his home, and he's had to move to a new place. And his left hand was burned, and so he can still do some stuff there with his right hand until that left hand heals. And if you'd like to help Bill out, please, please do so. Just go to his website, Proactive News, P-R-O-A-C-T-I-V-E-N-E-W-S, all one word, proactivenews.com. There is a PayPal link there somewhere where you can make a contribution, and you can email him. I think he'll have email by Monday afternoon or evening. So he's trying to reestablish everything up there. It's quite a mess. And we've got Melissa here from Texas talking with us. We're talking about the hidden family of Jesus, and which is one of the files on, the first of the CDs, I think? And the blotting out.
The blotting out's on the first one, and then the hidden family of Jesus is on number two.
Oh, okay. Oh, there you go. See, I put that in the right sequence.
Good thing.
Yeah, I have these CDs, MP3 CD collections of tapes I've done over the years. I've done 500 tapes and about 700 hours of material has been recorded, and it goes up each month because I keep producing this stuff. I just did one on Is the Shroud Genuine? And that's going to be included, I think, on CD 7 or 8 in the series for those who'd like to subscribe. We have a subscription link up there, and it's once a month that we send you one of these CDs. And so anyway, we were talking about the hidden family of Jesus and the connection with the blotting out rule. And in Psalm 109, the rule is that somebody would be blotted out until the second generation. Now, they weren't going to blot you out forever, which is why Josephus can write about things and the Bible can write about things that have been blotted out for some time, but were then, if you will, the names reinstated. And a generation was about 15 years. So, as a consequence, and the reason for that is by 15 years, since they got married around 12 or 13 when God had designed the human body to reproduce, there was a pretty good chance that within 2 years after that, your firstborn son would have been born. You had two or three pregnancies by that point, and chances are one of them had been a male. And so it was reckoned on average 15 years for a generation, and then the second generation would be 30 years. However, in the Bible, if you are a priest, for example, you don't begin your ministry until you're 30 years of age. So, as a consequence, they could reckon the second generation to be 60 years if you had any Levitical ancestry. And, of course, a lot of the New Testament figures did, including Jesus. And so they could blot you out for 60 years if they wanted to. It depends on how they wanted to apply it. You know, they could be merciful or they could be strict and so forth. So if you had no children, it would be 15 years. If you had children, it could be 30 years. If you had Levitical ancestry, it would be 30 years. If you had children, it would be 60 years, that kind of thing. So it gets complicated. And that's why,
Olaf,
for example, James, brother of Jesus,
Olaf,
who had no children, James Zadok, or James the Righteous, as he was called, who had no children, was blotted out for only 30 years. And so by the time Josephus writes his Antiquities in the 90s, he can write about the execution of James in 62 or 63 A.D., which was 30 years earlier, and they couldn't blot him out any longer than that because he hadn't had kids. And people, want to cite him in the Catholic Church and say, see, there's celibacy and so forth. Actually, it was the curse, the curse of Jeconiah in his family line as the firstborn. He was the guy who inherited that curse, and he decided not to get married and have children, and that way he wouldn't pass the curse along. And so James was the firstborn of Joseph in Matthew there. And you'll notice that by the time Jesus comes along, James would have been, starts preaching, James would have been already married for 15 years approximately, or 10 years, somewhere along that line. And so if he had gotten married and had children, before that, this blotting out rule would have taken 60 years, and his name would not have been mentioned by Josephus. So the problem here is resolved, I think, rather decisively in favor of the fact that James had already taken a vow of celibacy before Jesus started preaching, before John the Baptist. He had done that really when he saw his 12th birthday or 13th birthday coming up. Before his bar mitzvah, he had taken that vow. So it had to do with the curse of Jeconiah, not with the New Testament, not with the Catholic Church's interest in celibacy or anything of the sort. It had to do with the curse of Jeconiah on Joseph, the so-called carpenter's family line. It says tecton in the Greek, and it could be a carpenter, but it's more likely a stonemason or somebody who worked in mosaics or something of that sort. So, in any case, that family line is complicated, and a chart is useful. I do have a chart. It's a rather amateurish-looking chart that I did in freehand and colored with magic markers and stuff so I can keep things straight. I do plan to put a chart out at some point when I can. I actually bought a genealogy program where I thought maybe I could put it together on that. And we'll see if I'm able to do that at some point here. But a chart would help. One of the problems is that there are, in fact, four chief tribes that you have to sort these families out into in order to understand which apostles go to which tribes. And then you have the daughters as well as the sons, and they're mentioned, Susanna and others in the New Testament, who I believe Susanna is one of the sisters of Jesus, half-sisters. And so it's a big, complex family structure. And they had, I think Mary, by my count, according to the Gospel of Mark, it says that Jesus had four brothers, half-brothers, who are named James, Simon, what are they calling him there, Joseph, and what was the fourth one? James, Simon, Joseph, I don't know, Matthew, somebody. Anyway, he has four half-brothers. And then it says all his sisters, which suggests there are at least three sisters. So Mary had at least eight children altogether, including Jesus, and could have had more if she had other daughters that we don't know about. And the practice was to name somebody after their family names. In other words, Mary had a mother named Anna. And so when we see Susanna and we see Joanna, chances are that those names are indicating that those are sisters of Jesus. So they're actually named, but we're not told they're his sisters, because if we were told that, then we would be violating the blotting out rule where somebody is cut off from his family line. And so it's not just that the name is blotted out, but the family line connections are also severed. There's a whole series of things. You read Psalm 109. This is a Psalm of David, and this is if somebody usurps David's throne. And, of course, Jesus was accused of that. He was accused of being the Messiah of David's line and lying about it. You see, which is kind of interesting. He was accused of something he was guilty of. He wasn't guilty of lying about it, but he was accused of being, claiming to be the Messiah. And the fact of the matter is that David said, well, if anybody tries to do that, then here are the things that I'm going to do to that person. And all of that stuff was put on Jesus. Now, there's a reason for it. Because Jesus died in our place, and he died in the place of sinners. But God didn't nitpick about which sinners. He says died for the sins of the whole world, not part of it. He died for the sins of the whole world. Now, we don't all accept it. It's a free gift, but we don't all accept it. But that gift was given to everybody from Adam on down, essentially. And that included Cain. It included the Antichrist. And as you can see there, it included, therefore, the false claimant to the messiahship of King David. And so he takes even that guy's place on the cross, so to speak, and was accused of that crime, which, in a way, you could say that guy is the chief of sinners, even though Paul wanted to claim that title for himself. But those who persecute Christians, he calls the chief of sinners, meaning in a general sense. And certainly the Antichrist fits into that that description. So all of these different things devolve onto Psalm 109's condemnation of the person who's falsely claiming David's throne or attacking David or something of that sort. And then there's a bunch of things listed there, one of which includes being kicked out into the wilderness if you're exiled, if you're not killed or executed, set out in the wilderness and nobody's allowed to feed you, which, of course, is what happened to John the Baptist. So, and that's the sons of the person, if you look at the picture there, Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, must have been condemned for something. And that gets into the Zechariah murder mystery, which is another file that we have in there somewhere on our CD. So there's just a whole bunch of interesting stories. And their family is very complicated. We'll get into more of this after these commercial messages here in a moment. which I think is coming up any second now. I think this break is actually 19 minutes and 30 seconds in, and that's why I'm always missing it a little later.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We have our co-hostess of the week here, Melissa from Texas, who I think is still with us.
Yeah,
Melissa, are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question.
We've been talking about the topic suggested for today, which is the hidden family of Jesus, which is tied into the blotting out rule, why they got hidden. And Psalm 109, I mentioned before the break there that Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, had been blotted out. And that John came along, and of course he's not called John, the son of Zechariah. He's called John the Baptist, and yet we find the genealogy connection is in there in Luke's gospel. When you look at the New Testament period, you notice that there's a cluster of information around the year from 27 through the early 30s. And then there's kind of hit-or-miss information on down to the 60s, and then suddenly it just goes dark, and you don't have any information. And it seems odd, you know, you're wondering, gee, what in the world was going on there that they had it structured this way? And then the scholars will tell you that the earliest Gospels were written possibly the Gospel of Mark around 60, 65 or so, and then the other Gospels afterwards. Well, that's not entirely off, because if you think about it, it makes perfect sense. The Book of Acts, I sat down and I diagrammed it. I do things that nobody else seems to be interested in doing. I counted all the amens up in the Greek manuscripts of the New Testament and discovered a pattern in those. I took all of the chapters of the Book of Acts and diagrammed them according to the chronological date of the verse to see if there was a pattern. I just do weird stuff like that. That's a different way of, I guess, of studying the scriptures than anybody else has ever done, because I never see anybody else do some of these things. But anyway, in the Book of Acts, every 7 years, there's a big cluster of information. And when you chart it, it just jumps right off the page at you. It looks like a heartbeat every 7 years. And that heartbeat starts in 35, 42, 49, 63, oh no, I'm sorry, 56, 63 is when it stops. And that's when James and the elders in Jerusalem were arrested and put to death by the authorities in Jerusalem at the time. Then the New Testament information stops at that point, and we don't have anything except a couple of letters possibly written by the Apostle John, and maybe some editorial stuff that's done after that, but it just seems to stop at that point. And I think, obviously, a new censorship has begun with the execution of James, and he's blotted out for 30 years because he has no children. So it's not until the 90s, when only John is left alive, basically, of the original apostles, that you finally have anybody else able to add anything, and he could only add to his own stuff. And one of the things he adds is in his own gospel, he inserts the word, the genitive of Simon, into a verse where he's mentioning Judas, the Iscariot. Now, in the Greek, it jumps right out at you that Simon is put in the wrong case for the way it's translated. The way everybody translates it, it makes it look like it's Simon Iscariot, like it's the guy's name. You know, well, they didn't have last names in those days, folks. You were the son of somebody. And so when it says Judas of Simon, that means that Simon is the father. Okay, and the only Simon mentioned in the entire Gospel of John, another one of my little habits is to check to see how many times somebody's mentioned in a book, the only Simon mentioned there is Simon Bar-Jonah, otherwise known as Peter, you know, the apostle. And so I wanted to say Saint so bad. Oh, I can't tell you how hard it was to resist. But anyway, the implication obviously is that Judas was the son of Peter. But John, the apostle, couldn't write that in the original version of his gospel until these 30 years had expired. And he was able finally to insert that little mention in there in the 90s. So that there's a testimony right there that Judas had a son. And indeed, there's a very strong early church tradition that Judas had a son. And so it's just, if the Bible is filled with these little clues, but you have to sometimes go to early church tradition to find additional information. And one of the most useful things is just to look at Jewish marriage practices and how old was somebody when they got married, what about when they announced the engagement and how long it took and the 9 months the guy was building a house on or a room onto his father's house for his bride, and all these little details add up to kind of an arsenal of information that you can bring to bear to figuring out who's related to who and how they're connected to each other. It was a painstaking process, a big logical jigsaw puzzle to put together. But I think I've got most of the pieces in the right place. I may have one or two things wrong here and there. I usually make a mistake somewhere along the lines because there's just so much to deal with. But I think I got it mostly figured out at this point. We'll get into more of those details after the break here. We got a long segment following the break here at the bottom of the hour. But This is an amazing story of family, big extended family.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Okay, we're back here. This is Olaf Hagee, and Bill Brumbaugh is on the mend from his various disasters this past week, and hopefully we'll rejoin you guys next week. And I want to remind you once more to contact Bill through proactivenews.com. Proactive News is one word, proactivenews.com, and there's a PayPal link there if you want to help him out from the fire and everything. He would deeply appreciate it. Okay, Melissa, I wanted to ask you a question about the hidden family of Jesus. Was there some particular puzzle or part of that that you had some question about?
Well, kind of. First off, I have a couple questions. The first one would be the whole idea of blotting out. Would that be so that kind of like, you killed my father, I'm going to rise up and get all my family and come and get you? Is that kind of the idea?
Yeah, that's part of it.
Okay, Lazarus that Jesus raised from the dead.
Yeah.
He was Mary's brother, Mary Magdalene's brother?
That's correct, yeah.
Son of Nicodemus?
Yeah, yeah, that's
okay.
An interesting one, isn't it?
I
was really
surprised. I can't keep track of my own family line.
Because at first I thought, I couldn't figure out who that Simon was, Simon the Pharisee, until it dawned on me that Nicodemus is not a name. It, like Thomas, which means twin, it's not a name. Osiris is not a name. It means, you know, a sir, a sire, a lord. So there's a lot of things that we think of as names that really aren't names. Julius Caesar, okay? Julius is his last name. That's a family name. His first name was Gaius, and it was Gaius Iuli, to be more correct, and his title was Kaiser. We say Caesar because we don't know how to pronounce Latin, but I took Latin in high school, college, and in the church, so trust me, it's Kaiser. But anyway, the fact is that we think people have names when they're not really their names, they're just titles. Nicodemus meant that he had been tested for leprosy and found not to have it. And it's actually in the book of Leviticus somewhere. Nicodemus is actually a thing that you are declared to be free of blood contamination, as it were, guilt from leprosy. And so he apparently had been tested for leprosy, and he was found to be clean. And my guess is they were a red-headed family, and that they looked at his freckles, and they checked him out, and he was found not to have any leprosy, and I think they were looking for some sort of skin disorder. Somebody had accused him or whatever. And a lot of times there's a disease called, I think it's called impetigo or something like that.
Impetigo.
Okay. So you pronounce it.
Impetigo.
Thank you.
Whatever
it was she said there, folks, is possibly something that he had, and that it produces white patches on the skin. There's a lot of possibilities here. But the priest examined him and said he was okay, and so he was allowed to return to his work in Sanhedrin and whatever he was doing, thought to be of the tribe of Benjamin. But his first name is not obvious at first, because he is one of the people whose families got exiled and so forth. He was the early church tradition has him at the dock at Caesarea, where that's Caesarea, to those of you in Loma Linda, as Rush would say.
Caesarea.
Yeah, Caesarea.
Caesarea
the coast,
is how I just call it.
Which is south of the modern port of Haifa, I believe it is. But the whole family leaves, and he's left there on the dock waving goodbye to them. So I don't know if he was, apparently he was also arrested, because I don't know what he was doing up there, since his home was in Bethany, which is just near Jerusalem. If you look at a map, you know, he's been on a long walk to get there. So he's connected, because you notice it says that Jesus comes, that he comes to Jesus by night while Jesus is staying at the house in Bethany. And so there's Jesus at the house in Bethany where Lazarus and Martha and Mary were, okay? Now, while he's in that house with two women, okay, which must have been a fairly large house with separate rooms for each of these people. Let's think about that for a moment. And so he's in this house in the middle of the night. This guy, Nicodemus, walks in the door and walks down the hall, and there are women in the house. And he knows which room Jesus is in and which room the women are in. I think that, and if you've ever seen Bethany in that area around Jerusalem, there's lots of big rocks lying around everywhere on the ground. You don't walk around in the dark there, okay? I mean, you need a torch to walk around without breaking your neck. And this is an older gentleman from the Sanhedrin. This is not somebody who is going to go running around in the dark and fall down and just hop right up again. In those days, you could fall and get an infection, and you'd be dead in 2 days. So falling was a bad idea in that world, because they didn't have antiseptics. They didn't have the medical treatment we have. So I don't think Nicodemus was wandering around in the dark in the middle of the night trying to figure, now, was it this house I saw Jesus go into? And, I wonder what room he is in this house. You know, oh, sorry, ma'am. You know what I mean? I don't think that's what was going on there. I think this was his own house. Nicodemus knew which room Jesus was in and came to him secretly by night. And I think opening rooms and having women scream, rapist, rapist, you know, was not how you go secretly to find Jesus. You know, I think it had to be his own house. It doesn't make any sense otherwise. So he went down the hall to where he knew Jesus was, and he opens the door or knocks on the door, and he says, hey, it's me. And Jesus lets him in. So this is not some guy wandering around in the dark and just happened to find Jesus in his house. This is a man who probably was the man of the house. Now, we're told in another passage in Luke's gospel that this man's name is Simon the Pharisee. So we know that he's a Pharisee. From John's gospel, we know he's a leader of the people. That would have been a Pharisee at the time. And he's on the council. He's a chief man of the people. So he's one of the chief council members. We also know that he's called Simon and that he's a Pharisee. So we have a lot of information about him. He's an older man, or he wouldn't have been on the council. And Lazarus and Mary and Martha are in his house. So it tells me that he must be the father. His wife is not present because we notice that Mary and Martha do all the table waiting, and no other woman is being mentioned there as waiting on the table. So I assume that his wife is now dead. The most common reason for a woman to have died in those days was in childbirth, and so the youngest child in the house was probably the one that she died giving birth to. And from what I gather, the women were older than Lazarus, and that he was the baby of the family, and therefore the probability is that Lazarus' mother died giving birth to him. So suddenly, what was a very cloudy picture clears up considerably at this point. And we could see who these people are. Now, if you look in the Gospels, it says that whatever this woman has done in anointing Jesus should be preached to the world. That whenever this gospel is preached, you know, we're going to talk about this woman anointing Jesus. And at one point, we're told that Mary Magdalene is the anointer of Jesus. And at other points, we're just told that it's Mary. And at another place, we're told that it's a sinner. A woman of the city, which people interpret as being a prostitute. But she was a woman of the city. She lived there. I mean, you know, it's like, but her name had been blotted out, I suppose, in certain circles because of her supposed accusation of adultery and so on and so forth. I mean, it's a complicated picture. It depends on what year a particular account was written as to whether a blotting out had expired. It also depended upon who you were directing your gospel to, and so forth. A lot of different issues here. One thing I absolutely have to mention is why there are only four gospels, not five, not three, not six and a half, not 12. The reason there are four gospels is because of the four chief tribes. There is one gospel, the gospel of Judah, which is the gospel of Matthew, the gospel of the kings. Matthew gives the genealogy of the king's line there. The Gospel of Levi is the Gospel of John, who was a Levite, and that's the priestly Gospel, shows Jesus as Son of God. There's the Gospel of Luke, which was sponsored by Paul, who says he's of the tribe of Benjamin. That's the scribal Gospel. And that Gospel, by the way, the tribe of Benjamin, if you look at the books they put into the Scripture, they have to do with the queens, Ruth, Esther, Song of Songs, books like that. And so they kept the genealogies. They were the scribes. And so the scribal book was Luke. You'll notice the story of Mary and her family, which is typically Benjaminite-type material, is included there. So it's got the queen side, if you will, of that story. And then by the process of elimination, that leaves the chief tribe of Joseph. By the way, the four chief tribes are mentioned in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, starting with the first verse and read about 10 verses in to get they're the four chief tribes that have the authority to live in Jerusalem. Joseph there is called Ephraim because that was considered to be his chief heir because of the hand-switching routine they did back there in Genesis, which shows how seriously they took the book of Genesis, by the way. by the process of elimination, John Mark's gospel is the gospel of Joseph's house. And Joseph was the treasurer, he was the prophet, and there's an awful lot of prophetic material, not only in the gospel of John Mark, but also in his grandfather Peter's two epistles, and in what I consider to be the fourth contribution of John Mark, the book of Revelation. In the early church, there were a number of people who considered that the book of Revelation was written by John Mark, not John the Apostle, because the Greek is totally different from the Greek of John the Apostle. And modern scholars agree with that, including those in the church and out of the church, conservative, liberal. Everybody's pretty much in agreement that the author of the Gospel of John and his epistles is not the same person as wrote the book of Revelation. Sometimes they call him St. John the Divine, John the Revelator, but I'm pretty convinced it's John Mark. You look right there in the first chapter of the book of Revelation, you'll notice he uses the word we for a while there. And I think that that other person is Peter. There's an early church reference to this, that John Mark and Peter were given a revelation. And they went immediately from Asia Minor, where they were, which of course is where the book of Revelation was given, and they went from Asia Minor to Alexandria and Rome to warn those people, two seaport areas or major capitals that might fit the description of Babylon the Great in their time. They weren't sure, apparently, what Babylon the Great referred to, so they went around to these towns warning people to flee and get out of those towns and so forth. Peter was killed in Rome, and John Mark was killed in Alexandria, delivering that message. That message also was brought to Jerusalem, and they fled Jerusalem. And quite interestingly, when they fled Jerusalem, they went up to the area around the Sea of Galilee and waited out the war up there, and the Christians were not in Jerusalem during the siege as a result of the writing of the book of Revelation. So, and I know some people want to say it wasn't written until the 90s and so forth. Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah. But I don't agree with that. I think what happened was that these books were finally published when all the blotting outs had been lifted in the 90s. The books were finally published in a complete collection by John the Apostle just before his death. And a lot of people may have seen the book of Revelation for the first time then. Probably a blotting out of 30 years had been attached to John Mark, because he was arrested and executed in Alexandria. So it's entirely possible 30 years later, when the John the Apostle released the New Testament in its current form, that's when they finally got to see the book of Revelation. A lot of people may have assumed that it was written by John the Apostle at that time. There seemed to be some early church figures who thought both John the Apostle and John Mark were candidates here. So I think that on balance, if you look at the fact that there's no mention in the New Testament of John the Apostle going to Asia Minor, that he's probably not the guy who was in Asia Minor. We know John Mark was there, but not John the Apostle from the New Testament. Now, later on, a tradition arises in the church that John the Apostle is in Ephesus taking care of Mary, the mother of Jesus, which is a tradition that arises in the latter 4th century after Ambrose, a guy who was a pagan in the morning and a bishop at night, if you follow me, came up with the idea of her perpetual virginity, which, I'm not entirely still Catholic.
Good.
And so he came up with this novel new doctrine, which rather violates a lot of New Testament passages. So there is a... there's a lot of detailed information. You got to study the early church writings. You got to study Jewish practices. It took a lot of time and effort to come up with all of that. And I'm willing to revise it if anybody comes up with new information. There's always something new out there to be learned. Nobody has probed the depths of God's wisdom, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 11. So I don't expect to figure all this stuff out. I just try. That's all.
Olaf?
Yeah?
E.W. Bullinger has done charts like that you mentioned. You might be the only one, but you seem to have run into that same propensity to do charting. And Bullinger in his companion Bible does, you know, charts of from creation to the flood and from the flood to the to the patriarchs, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah, I'm a visual person. I got to see it laid out in front of me before I can make too much sense out of it. So
right.
I do thousands of charts, literally.
Okay,
I've covered index cards with charts for years, and I probably literally have thousands of charts. So I really have done that, and I understand Bollinger's interest in it because it's complicated. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. Want to keep the bad guys from figuring it all out, and then God gives us the Holy Spirit and says, "Okay, go at it." You know, so
right.
it's a complicated matter, but it's something that takes a lot of work and a lot of prayerful effort.
Who was Lazarus? How was Jesus related to Lazarus? What were they to each other?
Who Lazarus related to who?
Jesus.
Oh, to Jesus. Okay, that's a little complicated. I'll get to it real quick after the commercial break, which I think is coming up any second here.
I hear the music.
Okay, yeah. I'll try to answer that one right after the break, and then we'll give contact information.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Well, we only got about 5 minutes here to finish all of this up. So there's no way I can do all of the Mary Magdalene connected to Jesus material in 5 minutes. But I will say this, that Jesus's uncle, that is the brother of his mother Mary, was Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph of Arimathea is, by all accounts, one of the wealthiest people in the world at that time. And he sat on the council. He was in the honored seat, which I believe is the king's seat of the House of David there on the Sanhedrin. Over on the other side of the ledger, we have Nicodemus, who was one of the wealthiest people in Jerusalem. He had the grain concession for Jerusalem, and he was an extremely wealthy man. And when wealthy people want to marry their children, they find another wealthy person because of all the dowry issues at the time. There is a reference in the Talmud that says that Nicodemus, which what they call him there, because, of course, U.S. at the end is a Latin ending, Nicodemus had a daughter named Mary and a daughter named Martha and a son, and obviously that's the same guy here, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, who lived in the first century, who were married off, and it says that when Mary was married, that her dowry was 1,000,000 gold denarii, the highest dowry ever paid in the history of Jerusalem. It was a record, and so I take it that she was married to certainly very close to the wealthiest man at the time, and that would have been Joseph of Arimathea, and that would have then connected the two families together, and would explain why Jesus spent so much time in that house, because after his heavenly father is not his earthly keeper, if you will, in the form of Joseph the carpenter, and Jesus was said to have hung around and grown up with Joseph of Arimathea. So he spent a lot of time with that family, that side of the family, hence Mary Magdalene was like a stepmother to him. Huh. Explains why he pays so much attention to her. I know it's complicated. There's a lot of evidence to support this. I've got in my Eyes Only series that we'll be getting into as we get to CD7 and beyond. I've got a whole report just on that issue alone, on the Mary Magdalene, and then another report on Lazarus, and I get into that family in great detail and go over it with a lot of documentation, chapter and verse and sources everywhere. But it's too complicated to really complete that discussion here. And I don't like people trusting me because I make mistakes like anybody else does, even like John McCain, for God's sake. So what I would hope people will do is get that material from us contact me via the website, and we can talk about how you go about doing that. The website is TheTimeQuest, TheTimeQuest, all one word, thetimequest.com. There are some articles up there that talk about Mary Magdalene and Jesus and the family somewhat, so there's some material there already. And don't forget to help out Bill Brumbaugh at proactivenews.com, proactivenews.com, all one word again, and there's a PayPal link there to help Bill, and don't forget our CDs also, go to thetimequest.com, the link down there to 4/2012andbeyond.com, who handles all of my CD stuff. Those are MP3 CDs. But it's not that hard to find a way to listen to MP3s. You can get 12 hours per CD, so it's a huge bargain. It really is a big savings. That's about all we have time for. Bill will be back next week. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, everybody, for listening. God bless you all. And remember to keep praying for your country. It really, really needs.
Gold has been.